You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. In John chapter 14, we have looked at and understood our Lord Jesus Christ is within hours to be crucified. And in the process, he sunk, sinking in the upper room to encourage the 11 disciples that are going to be apostles. And he's seeking to encourage them. And they are facing, what do they see? All they see from their window is prison or death. That's all they see. They don't see the resurrection. They don't see the cross. All they see is, and they're going for it. They don't want to back out. They aren't retreating. They're going forward. And God is trying to help them in his most gracious way to understand the need of the wonderful person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Therefore, as we've shared together, they're going to ask whatever in his name, whatsoever he means whatsoever, we share together. And God means that, so that we share that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Looking and asking and outworking his wonderful work in our life. Now, therefore, he adds now, when we get to verse 16, he reminds them, and I will pray the Father, I will ask the Father, different word, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another of the same kind. Not a different kind. That's the word another, we share together. And another means of a different kind. Bananas and apples. Cabbages. But this word means the same thing. One, two. It's one, and then we have two of them. Now, another, verse 16. Another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So, here our Lord is encouraging their heart and reminding them that God, in his wonderful grace, in his perfect provision, is making possible all of the wonderful benefits that are going to happen. If you all they see is a losing situation. Judas has already hung himself, because... He didn't see any light in the tunnel at all. And the Lord is trying to help them. They needed help to understand. Now, having said that little bit, and we need that tonight, we need to understand. If we don't understand, we're traveling along and we aren't connecting. Now, so here we are looking, and here is our Lord going, and he's going to go and help them, and he's going to say, another comforter I have. I'm going to give you another of the same kind. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to give you the Spirit of God, as it were, the life of God, for the God of life. You can't enjoy any of what I'm going to do. You can't participate in any of what I'm going to do if he isn't there. And he is going to go and make possible all that I make possible, said the Lord. So what I'm going to do, he's going to make it real and right in your life. He's going to make it work. So be of good cheer. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so as the disciples are going to go, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is the same, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God is going to go and take and give his word, his will, his work, the wonderment of all that he is and all that he will be for the human heart. He's going to make it possible. So the reality that they haven't grasped, they're in the midst of it, in his presence, he's standing in front of them, God in the flesh, but they can't connect. That God is going to be in their flesh. They just couldn't connect that. That was very hard for them. Remember, that was the problem with the Jews anyway. With what? How can God have flesh and blood like us? He's the infinite, awesome God. And here he is. And they were hung up with it. Wow. Now, so here we are looking, and here they are, and they're going to go, and God, in his most awesome design, we shared together last time, he's created animals, birds, bugs, fish, birds, and everything, all of the wonderful things, and you'll catch that tonight at 6, is his instinct. He's done awesome. That's right. And God, and you made them. So they do everything perfectly, without any instruction, without any teacher, without any experience. They're able to do exactly as their great-great-great-grandfather butterfly or bumblebee did, without any problem. Wow. But, we are not animals. And God made us in his image and likeness. And God made us not with instinct. God made us for himself. And he would be the instinct in your life. God would be in your life. The birds and bugs and everything else, no, not for you. You have the Creator yourself to be your life. And that's what it's all about. Now, so in the light of that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and we share together, that we put the hand in the glove, and God, the glove is there, the flesh is here, and God, you made us to house yourself. So the hand in the glove, and God in the heart. Put the hand in the glove, you got that? God puts himself in the heart in order to produce all of the wonderment that he has in mind. Wow, that's an awesome thing. Now, and God, what else? Well, God, the astronomer, if you're going to be a star astronomer, think about stars, well, then you have to look at stars. And I suggest you get a telescope somewhere, do something, and board the Hubble up there, board the spaceship up there with a telescope, and ask for a ride, and ride around, and get a view of things. Won't do any good, but anyway. Now, so the astronomer needs to see the stars. A doctor needs to see the body. When he looks at you, he sees inside of you, livers, kidneys, and lungs, and everything. Wow, because he's a doctor. That's what he does. He sees. The painter sees the picture that he's going to paint. The musician, the conductor, sees the piece of music that he's going to make alive. He sees it. What is believer? What are we believers? We're supposed to see God. Genesis, Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork and all of that. We read book one, creation, the flowers, the bugs, the birds. We read book one. So what? We read book two. Because book one says there's an awesome creator. And so we end up reading, looking for book two. And when we look for book two, we become believers. Like the astronomer, like the artist, like doctor. We're what? We're students of the book. We're looking for God. Like they're looking at the stars to study. Now, God, here we are looking. Therefore, if you would, chapter 14, picking up in verse 16 again, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter of the same kind, purpose, that he may abide with you forever. His wonderful, wonderful purpose and will is to abide with you forever. Now, and he is the comforter. He's the comforter. That's the term. A very wonderful term to express. And the word comforter means he's another of the same kind. So God, Lord, are you a comforter? Are you a comforter? Aha! Hold your finger here and go over with me to 1 John and remind yourself, 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, picking up the thought, if I can, in verse 1, 1 John 2, 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, reason, that you sin not. I want you to have a relationship so that you can enjoy walking in the truth, enjoying the truth. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And the word advocate, is the same as comforter. It is comforter. You mean the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word comfort has to be someone alongside to come to aid, to implore assistance, and to admonish someone to come and help, and to come out to assist you in some way, judicially even, to come along in judicial proceedings, to come and come to your rescue. Aha, that's the word. Comforter, advocate, that's right. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you're the comforter. I'm going to give you another comforter, the same as I am. We're the same. I'm going to come. We're the same. Hang on. God the Father, we got so far God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're comforter. They come to the aid. They come to the aid to be able to, one who is called, summoned, not like 911, just there for whatever the need. Hang on to console, to comfort, to encourage, to admonish, or to manner, in whatever manner whatsoever, to make sure you make it. How's that? He's a comforter. Now, having said that, back over to John chapter 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is the comforter. The Spirit, and he's going to give you another. It's just like him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm going to give you God. I am God. I'm going to give you God. God, when you have God, you can't have God without the Father and without the Son and without the Holy Spirit of God. That's God. So when you talk about my Lord, I have to understand the Father and the Spirit of God. And when I look to the Spirit of God, I have to understand the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't have you, God, without all of you. That's right. You must have all of me. I'm not part of me. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, comforter, to come alongside and aid, to admonish, to console, to comfort, in whatever manner is necessary and needful. Now, in order to catch that, God, you're saying that. Now, I want to, God, they don't know it yet. They're going to know. What are they going to know about the comforter? What are they going to know about the comfort of God? We can say it, comforter. What are they going to know? Remember, the astronomer looks at the stars, and the doctor looks at the body, and the believer looks at his word. Over to Romans in chapter 15. Romans in chapter 15. And in Romans chapter 15, you would recall, if I can, picking up please, in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written, that's the Old Testament and everything, were written for our learning, that's right, that's why God wrote them and gave them, that we, through patience, bearing up under the load, and the comfort, there's your word, comforter, the comfort of what? The comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, God, we're looking to you. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you're the comforter. That's right. And I've given you comfort in my word. That's why you got the Bible. So you can read the Bible, look at the Bible, understand. I'm going to help you what? To be able to relate to me. The Bible is to get you to know the God in whose presence we sit. It isn't just to memorize verses, that's all well and good. It's to be able to enjoy God intelligently. Now, verse 5. Now, the God of patience, bearing up under the load, and consolation, there's your same word again, grant you to be like-minded one to another according to Christ Jesus. So we ought to have the same mind and heart because we're looking to the same God. And we have to enjoy that we're to enjoy the same comfort in a most wonderful way. Now, and remember that hope, verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Why? That you may abound in hope. Full of hope. Hope means anticipation, expectation of where you're going. You're finished this morning already. And here we are going down. And what will you do? You were hoping not to get in an accident and get here and to hear me yell at you, right? Here we are. And you're hoping to go home or on the way, stop at McDonald's or something, and you're going to go. You're hoping. Every moment, we're moving right now into the next moment. It's the way it is. Hope. That's how you live. That's how you go. Without hope, you're in trouble now. So therefore, the God of hope, verse 13, be with you all with the joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of whom? The Holy Ghost. He's going to come, he's the comforter. And who's going to give me the hope and the help? A God. God, you are. And the Lord Jesus said, I want you to know I have another person, God the Holy Spirit, who's going to help you to enjoy all the benefits that I make possible on Calvary's cross. I'm going to help you do it. So hang on. Now, so back over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians, if I can, picking up, please, in chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now remember the wonderful, wonderful words. And I'm going to start if I can. Well, I'll read verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, verse 3, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father of mercies. Remember the word mercy? Everything's flowing together in all directions coming in, and you're in the middle, and God is taking everything and taking all that surrounds your life and moving it in like this. The mercies of God coming in. Wow. Now, he's the Father of mercies, and, verse 3, he is the God of what? All comfort. There's your word. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Comforter. We're comfort. You want to talk to us? We're the comforters. We come to the aid. We're the creator. We're the savior. We're the one that can do anything. Anything, if it's going to be done, it's going to have to be done by us because there is no one else. Without me, said the Lord Jesus, John 15, you can do nothing. Now, so now, what do you mean? You're the God of all comfort. That's right. Verse 3. Who comforts us? Who comforts us? There's your little word. Got to keep repeating it. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, pressure, squeezing, tribulation to be pressed, squeezed, compressed, and everything, oppressed, that we may be able to comfort, there's your word again, them which are in any trouble, by how? By the comfort, there's your word again, wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. There it is again. So God, what are we going to do? God, you're going to leave us here, and we live in the same body we did before we came to know the Lord as the Savior. We're subject to getting the flu and everything else, and all the problems, ups and downs, mentally, spiritually, socially, physically, every way. We're able to get them. But God, in getting them, in having them, you allow all of that to happen in your wonderful rhyme and reason of what you do. For what? So that we are educated that you are the God of all comfort. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make sure we are comforted. That's his ministry. To keep coming and encouraging your heart. That's what he's going to do. That's what his ministry is. Now, that's what we're going to try to catch tonight, Lord willing. Now, so in the process, verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, there's your word, comfort, also aboundeth by Christ. So the more we go through, the harder it is, the more God did you abandon? Did you disappear? No. And by the way, we titled it, there is no replacement. Replacement. God doesn't replace himself. God the Son replaces himself with the Spirit. No. Replacement means what? Replacement means something's worn out or no good and it needs to be replaced. Nothing needs to be replaced. He's the same. There is no such thing as replacement with God. God is God from start to finish. Wow. Now, God, so here we are, and we go through all of these things so that we have able to understand what it is. Heartache, headache, hurting. We go through all that so that we can, you can't say, well, you don't know what I'm talking about. God says, yes, I do. Now, God says that. And then he helps you to understand what is needed so that you can say that to somebody, I understand. Do you know what it is to lose a loved one? Do you know what it is for this, for that? And you say, yes. Yes, I do. Do you know what it is to hurt? Do you know what it is for pain? And we go through it. So I can talk to you. You may not like it, but I'm going to tell you there's a great God who's able to take care of everything in the midst of it. And that's why it all happens. Now, so therefore, sliding down, verse 7 we read. Verse 7. And our hope is not, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. You can't go through the suffering without the comfort. That's if you're looking to God. The world leaves God out of the picture and they go through it. But for the believing heart, you can't go through it without God encouraging your heart to say thank you and look to you, God, for all that you have in mind and all that you're going to do. Wow. And that's an awesome thing. Now, so God, here we are looking. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, over to Hebrews. Now, God, that's the comfort. God, you're going to do all that. I am. I'm going to do all that. And in Hebrews, you know, chapter 6. And you are familiar again. God, you're there. That's right. And I'm going to give you, that's what the Lord said to the disciples in the upper room. I'm giving you the Spirit of God, another comforter. He's the comforter. He's going to comfort you. You ought to be encouraged. I'm here. I'm right here. You aren't worried when I'm here. Were you worried about getting sick when I was with you? No. Were you worried about the Pharisees coming in and catching you? They tried to get me. No. You weren't worried about anything. No. Now, I'm going to give you another person, God the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be with you forever. Forever. That's what he's going to do. What do you think forever means? Next week? Forever. So whatever the ministry is, God, that you have, you're never going to leave and never going to quit. So if I'm missing it, it's my problem as a believer. It's not your problem, God. It's my problem. And I need to look to you to help me. So here's Hebrews chapter 6. And you'll remember verse 17. Read verse 16. For men verily swear by the greater and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. In other words, they swear to tell the truth, etc. Wherefore, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the joint heirs we are, the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable promise and oath, two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. God to lie. And that's why you're going to read, you know, the Spirit of God is the Comforter. He's the Spirit of Truth. Will God ever kid you? Does he have to make up something? No. God just going to be real. That's what truth means. Real. real. Like here's the pencil with jumping ahead. He's the Spirit of Truth. Truth means real. So that here's the truth is showing. The lead is showing on the pencil. You can't see it. The lead is showing. But it's the true. It's true. It's true. It's real. If I could strip the pencil down to the eraser, it would be the same. It's real. What you see in the end is real. The Lord Jesus said, I'm standing in front of you, and it's real. Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life to the life to the Father. Follow me, and you'll end up in reality, in truth, in God, who's true. He cannot lie. He's true. Now, so therefore, 18, by two immutable things that are unchangeable, it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation, there's your little word, comfort, who have fled to refuge to lay hold of the hope, we need hope, to set before us. So God, we need the comfort. The comfort's going to get us hope, and the hope's going to get us into the next moments, hopefully looking, God, and we're encouraged to do so because you're an ever-present help as we go down the corridor of time. And that hope, verse 19, which hope we have, verse 19, as an anchor, think of the ocean out there, and your ship got a big anchor down below, keeping you from drifting in the waves, the storms of life. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whither in the veil, God, where are you? You're ascended to the right hand of God, seated at the right hand of God. Whither the forerunner for us is entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So God, you have done a wonderful thing. You have gone and made it possible in a most awesome way to give us comfort. And the comfort's very real. You are the Comforter. God the Father's the Comforter. I come to you, Father, Comforter. I look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Comforter. And the Spirit of God is going to help me with both of you, Father and Son, that you are the Comforter. And so Comforter, I'm going to have comfort. Am I going to have help? Am I going to have someone to come and give hope and help? Yes, God. God is an ever-present help. So God, we're looking to you. And the disciples, the 11 disciples, need to be encouraged. The believers need to be encouraged that there is a wonderful, wonderful Comforter that God has made possible. So all the benefits and all the wonderment of Calvary's cross is to be ours in a most experiential, enjoyable, practical, real way. And you have made all of that possible. How so? By the Spirit of God. And without him, nothing's going to happen. It's not going to work. Wow. So now, God, having said that, back over to John, the Gospel of John. And if I can, chapter 14, the Gospel of John, picking up, if I may, verse 16, reading it, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter of the same kind, purpose, that he may abide with you forever. So God, am I ever going to be without the Comforter? Never, 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 never. And, verse 17, not only is he the Comforter, but he is the Spirit of truth. And we just mentioned truth. The word truth is made up of little words, negative, negative, and then to hide something. Negative, not to hide. It's not hidden. That's what I did with the pencil. The little piece of lead is showing. Christ, Christ said, I am standing in front of you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm standing right in front of you. Look at me, he said. And follow. You're going to come to whom? To the Father. If you understand, I'm visible. To how am I going to handle the invisible God? By looking at me. To understand. So that you, as a human, you aren't a butterfly, you aren't a bug, you aren't an antelope. You're a human. And you can enjoy my wonderful person. Wow. We're in your presence, God. That's right. Wow. We haven't seen, not yet, but we will. We're going to see. Now, so in the light of that, verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now, the Spirit of God, the world cannot receive him. Now, why is that? See the verb to receive in verse 17. If you went over to the Gospel of John and chapter 1, the Gospel of John and chapter 1 and verse 12, as many as what? As many as received him. But if you reject him, verse 11 and 10 in 1 John, if you reject him, how are you going to know the wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Spirit of God is going to honor? How are you going to know that? You can't say no to Jesus Christ and then expect the Comforter or anything. You're rejected. The world doesn't know. The world doesn't care. It doesn't care at all. Now, in the process of all of that, the truth, and so the world's looking, and the world doesn't see, over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, if you would. You know all these things. All I'm doing is reminding you. The world, think of the people that work, home, school, come, go, wherever you go, humans, all over the place, humans. Are they conscious of God? Are they thinking about God? Do they honor God? No. No, they don't. They don't. They pray and speak of God sometime, which is good, but they don't know. They don't know him. They don't know him. Why not? How are you going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and know him? You can't. You can't do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So God, we're looking to you. But the world isn't looking to you. And therefore, as we read, therefore, in the light, verse 21, for after this, verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not, N-O-T, God. It pleased God's going to, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Wow. And God, you did that. I did. Verse 23. And we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks a Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. And therefore, God, you do your most wonderful thing. But people, oh, chapter 2, picking it up. Chapter 2, drive the nail home a little bit. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. No FM. They got a radio built in, all of us, AM, But FM, you have body, soul, spirit. When you get saved, God awakens the spirit and gives you FM. But if you're unsaved, nothing, zero. You come to know the Lord as your Savior, you get FM, and therefore. But if I don't have FM, I'm trying to take the verse that you're trying to quote to me and tune it in on AM. But it's FM. But just think of what we did in Sunday school a little bit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, how are you going to ever enjoy that on AM? You can try your best. You aren't going to get it. No? Where is the shepherd? Well, I don't know. My shepherd, well, I don't know he's my shepherd on AM. I don't know that. And I shall not want, worry, wander. I don't know that either. I don't understand that. How can you? Because you don't have FM. But when you look to God, he said, I am the shepherd, the chief good shepherd that saves your soul. Wow. Now, so God, here we are looking. God, and you do all of these things. So that, God, we're able to say, while we're here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul's wonderful, wonderful life. It wasn't complicated, trying to sow the deep things of God and all of that. No, the people don't need that. The people need to know the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior. And if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior, you can talk to them forever about the Bible and truth. They aren't going to get it. It isn't going to happen. So you can keep doing it forever. It ain't going to go anywhere. It isn't personal. It has to be personal. If I can, carefully. Jeanette would say, I love you. I love you. That's personal. If I go out and there's a crow out there and the crow caws and he says, I love you, that doesn't mean a thing. The crow doesn't mean a thing. But Jeanette does. That's personal. When God said, I love you, that's personal. I am your shepherd. That's personal. If it isn't personal, where's it going to go? It's not going to go anywhere. Over, if you would. He's the Spirit of Truth. Over to 1 John. If you can. 1 John, picking up if I may. Over in chapter 4. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you, I started to say, except Jesus Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2:2. That's all just simple, wonderful, wonderful, simple. Paul, you're a very profound student, very brilliant. You went to school, you went to the earthly schools, and you went to the spiritual school in the desert for 3 years. God, you are very smart, Paul is. But Paul doesn't come across as smart. He said, listen, I do nothing of myself. It isn't anything about me. It's all about God's wonderful person. And I determined that you know him. If you don't know him, it won't make any difference. Now, so here's 1 John. And you recall, you are of God, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, that's a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, what are you telling me? God, the Spirit of God is going to comfort us. The Spirit of Truth, what is he going to do? He's going to help me understand the person and work of Jesus Christ is all true. It's in God, we just read it in Hebrews, it's impossible for God to lie. Jesus Christ is the anchor, the hope, the comforter. The Spirit of God is the comforter to bring us the God, the Father, who is the comforter. Now, so here we are looking, verse, at God, greater is he that is in you. So no matter what's on the outside, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no matter what's on the outside, no matter what you're going through, a God, you're right there, and greater, you're greater than anything I'm going to see, face, feel. You'll be greater. Verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of Truth and the spirit of error. A wonderful, wonderful relationship to you, God. Over to chapter 5, quickly, chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, because we're trusting our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the comforter, and the Spirit of God, who is the comforter. And, verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That's right, he's the comforter. Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. Verse 6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. He's the Spirit of truth. So the Comforter, is it real? Say it that way. Is the comfort real? He's the Spirit of truth to make it real. Is God going to make this for real? Absolutely. Therefore, sliding over, if you would, back over to John chapter 5 in verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so I receive the Lord as my Savior, and I have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God, not because of anything about us. It's all about you, God. I received you in Christ Jesus, the Comforter. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to encourage, comfort the heart about all the things that Jesus Christ has made comfortable, so that we can enjoy the comfort of God, who, God the Father, he's the Father of all comfort. So God, you're going to do it all, that's right. So therefore, the Spirit of truth, is that important? Is that how you're going to end John? John chapter 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. About what? In order that we may know him that is true. There's your little word, the Spirit of truth. So what we can know, God? Are you the true God? Is there any other God? Is there any other solution? Any other religion? No, 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 no. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. To know him, and we're in him. So God, this, what did you say in John 14, 17? Verse 16, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'm going to be in you, verse 17. All right? And that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So God, it's for real. Spirit of God's ministry, to make it real. You know, to really be saved. Really, 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 really be saved. The assembly, really, 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 is his body. And we really, really, really are catching on, finally, because we're so much everything is the other way. How can we catch on? We're overwhelmed with all of the rest of it. I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. It's true. It's real. It's right. God, thank you. Thank you very much. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, all we're doing is trying to understand, trying to get a handle on your wonderful person, your wonderful ministry, your wonderful purpose, to honor and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So God, Father, God, would you help us understand comfort, to come to the aid, to be an ever-present help, to be an ally, to give assistance, to be an advocate. God, in the thick and thin, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For the little ones, for each one of us. God deal with our hearts. That's without it, it's not going to happen. It just has to get locked in. The reality of that which is real and right. Your wonderful person and your presence. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.